Welcome to Get Sleepy, the podcast where we listen, we relax, and we get sleepy. I'm your host, Thomas. I really appreciate you joining me tonight, and I hope you've had a great week so far. No matter the ups and downs that life sends our way, I really hope this podcast is a source of comfort and a peaceful constant for your bedtime routine. And it really warms our hearts to hear how much you're all enjoying it. Tonight, Abby will be reading daily logs from days 3 and 4 of the mission in search of the Hypnos flower. I hope you enjoyed the first episode on Monday and that it helped you get a good night's rest. Tomorrow is Thursday, and that means a new, exclusive episode on our supporters feed, Get Sleepy Premium. It will be the conclusion of this series, so if you want to hear how the mission ends, be sure to sign up and listen in to Get Sleepy Premium tomorrow. We'll also be posting a long play copy of the Hypnos series, so you can listen to it from start to finish in a single episode. And of course, this is in addition to all of the other benefits of Get Sleepy Premium, like access to our entire catalogue, all ad-free. If you're interested in signing up, go to getsleepy.com/support, or simply use the link in the show notes to find out more. I'd like to thank our friends at BetterHelp for supporting tonight's episode. If you feel like there's something getting in the way of your happiness or holding you back from achieving your goals, then please do consider taking a look at BetterHelp. They will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. And by visiting betterhelp.com/getsleepy, you'll receive 10% off your first month. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. Message your counselor anytime and schedule weekly video calls from the comfort of your own home. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit betterhelp.com/getsleepy, that's better, H-E-L-P, and join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. And remember, right now, all Get Sleepy listeners will receive 10% off your first month when you go to betterhelp.com/getsleepy. So before we head back into outer space for another glimpse of life on the Starship REM mission, ease yourself down into the idyllic sleepy vessel that is your own bed. You are safe and comfortable right here. So just let the darkness settle behind your eyelids. Feel the soothing rhythm of your breath gently lulling you into deeper relaxation. And let that slow, gentle rhythm guide your whole body and mind. Gradually, the pace of your thoughts will fall into this same slower rhythm. And all you need to do from here on out is listen to Abby's voice in the background, easing further into sleepiness with each calming moment. Now, Abby's just received the next batch of daily logs. So, let's go and join her at Interstellar Command.
Today is the third day of the mission, and the lead engineer's daily log has just arrived. Now, let's begin with episode 3. The log of lead engineer Ronez. Mission, the Hypnos Conundrum, day 3. Well, I guess it's just you and me again, computer. I must spend at least half my days talking to computers or conduits or the engine of this ship. I guess it's to be expected as the lead engineer. I spend more time with the insides of REM than I do with any of its crew members. And it's just as well. I've never really been much of a people person, anyways. Ships are easier to understand. They aren't so complicated. I mean, they still have moods and opinions, that's for sure. But I've always found them more predictable than people. If you learn a ship, you can really know a ship. I'm still getting to know the REM. It's a new ship, with all new, sleek and shiny parts. I had a lot of fun being the first engineer to climb into some of the holding areas and pull off the wall coverings. I was the first to touch many of the control panels on this ship. I know that probably sounds silly, but I think it was all the flashing lights on ships that made me want to become an engineer in the first place. As a kid, I used to look over my uncle's shoulder. He was an engineer too. I'd watch him poke and prod at all the flashing lights on his circuit boards. He'd connect this to that, and a light would go from red to green, and it would be fixed, like new. It was like magic to me, and it still is, if I'm being honest. Every time I figure out a problem on a ship, I get that little surge of pride and wonder. And that's what's been particularly frustrating today. We have a serious plant problem that I just can't figure out how to fix. Ever since the away team came back with that Hypnos flower, my ship hasn't been working the way it's supposed to. I know this could be the scientific discovery of all time, but it is wreaking havoc on the REM. I'm not sure if the scientists just didn't know, but nobody informed me the flower grows like a weed. Yesterday, the team came back from the surface of Dawn. Jax, the lead science officer, put her plant trimmings in the lab. Overnight, the flower went crazy. Jax sent me a message this morning telling me to get down to the science lab as quickly as I could. I was already awake, of course, cleaning the floor panels in the engine room. I packed up my toolkit and headed for the lab. I didn't hurry that quickly, because I figured a science emergency couldn't really be that bad. But it turns out I was wrong. The Hypnos flower trimmings had been inside a specimen container, Jack said. But when I got there, I found her picking up broken pieces of that container off the floor. It seems like overnight, the flower sample grew this giant tendril that snaked up the wall and all the way back into one of the ventilation conduits. It also grew a bunch of smaller tendrils that were hanging down from the ceiling and sprouting new growth of their own. The tendrils were all covered with these bright green leaves and dark purple flowers. The plant had grown straight through two empty specimen tanks, breaking the casing on both sides, and had completely coiled around the workbench and chair, making it impossible to get to any of the tools in any of the drawers, or to sit down. Where there used to be a ceiling, that's now what I can only describe as a miniature jungle. Smaller tendrils completely cover the top panels and the upper third of the walls. In some places, the ends hang down nearly to head height, all covered in leaves and flowers. I had to brush one out of my face when I first walked into the room. It would have been pretty in a way, had it not damaged so many of the supplies in the science lab. We'll have to wait until we're docked back at Reinhardt to replace all of them. Of all the parts of the plant that were where they shouldn't be, the one that really concerned me was the tendril in the ventilation shaft. It's not affecting the function of the shaft. The thing is, from there, the plant could theoretically get anywhere on the ship. The way the ship is designed means there's a crisscrossing series of large shafts and conduits that run through the walls. It's how you can get to one spot or another without taking the hallways, for example. While most people spend their time in the common areas of the REM, I spend a lot of my day crawling through shafts to get to the hard-to-reach places on the ship. When I saw the tendril in the ventilation shaft, I realized it could be spreading to the ship's other systems and areas. Without crawling back there to see for myself, I couldn't be sure exactly how much had been affected. So I grumbled at Jax. She was nice about it. Then I got all my tools and went for a climb. I removed the grill panel that leads to the shaft and climbed inside. Luckily, the vine followed the bottom of the shaft, so there was still plenty of room for me to edge along beside it. What I found was not encouraging. Through the night, this plant had sent its snaking arms through every open space it could find. Its leaves, flowers, buds and stems had pushed open control panels and encircled every button, switch and knob that it came across. One small, particularly determined tendril made its way back to a wiring bundle that's pretty key to the propulsion systems. It had crawled in and out between all the wires. The whole thing was a mess. I followed that piece as far as I could. The end of the tendril had shoved the wiring out of the way and jammed up the circuitry. About 5 minutes after I found it, the entire propulsion system went down. Now, that's not a huge problem since we're in orbit around the planet anyway, but it is problematic for me as the ship's engineer, and it's a mystery I still haven't solved. Somehow, I have to find a way to bypass the affected systems and make sure new growth from the plant doesn't cause similar issues again. I've been working closely with Jax in the science lab. She's trying to figure out how to contain the plant and keep it from growing so wildly. She's tried everything from special holding containers to force fields, but the plant just keeps on growing. She tried a water tank. That didn't work, and we ended up with a very wet floor. For my part, I've tried clipping the tendrils back and removing the pieces from the wiring, but every time I cut away the plant, new growth immediately sprouts from the parts I cut, both on the main part of the plant and on the clipping. So basically, I just have two vines instead of one, and they're both growing even faster than before. The first time I tried to cut back the plant, I put the clipping in my pocket. The next thing I knew, it had grown right through a weak part in my seam and was hanging down the outside of my pant leg like a keychain. This all led me to wonder why the away team hadn't mentioned how fast or extensively the hypnos plant grows. I asked Jax about it, and she said they had no reason to suspect it would grow like this. Apparently, down on the surface of Dawn, the plant was pretty well contained. She said there was a single vine growing on the ground near the entrance to the caves. There were no smaller tendrils. There was no mini jungle of hypnos flowers hanging from the top of the cave. The vines didn't snake anywhere they weren't supposed to. All in all, it seemed like a very orderly and rather small vine, she said. In fact, that's why they didn't even bring back that large of a sample. They didn't want to take too much of the plant and affect the part that was still growing back on Dawn. She had taken some scans when she was on the surface, and she showed them to me. It's true what she said. The vine really wasn't that big. Now she's trying to figure out what it is about this ship that's encouraging it to grow so quickly. Apparently, it's the perfect environment for growth, but nobody can figure out why. Dr. Treylor is also working on the problem. He's analysing the molecular structure of the hypnos flower, trying to understand how it grows and what supports its rapid growth here. He's had a challenging time keeping his sample under control too, from what I hear. I guess it managed to break his first microscope, so he switched it over to the larger scanner. So far, it seems to be working all right. We can't wait to hear what he finds. Anything to help contain this plant would be welcome right now. Normally, crew members record their logs in their quarters at night before they go to sleep. But I've got so much work to do, call it damage control if you like, that I'm still back here in one of the smaller workspaces behind the engine room. My latest strategy is just trying to move the plant. Instead of cutting it back and causing more ends to grow, I'm just carefully shifting the vine to places it won't do as much harm. It's a complicated task, especially when the vine has wound itself around wires, as it has back here. What I have to do is take the leading end and trace it back through the wires, carefully untangling it as I go. I've got this vine mostly untangled now, and I'm laying it on the ground. I'm hoping it will just keep growing straight along the floor, instead of finding any new complicated wiring to jumble itself up in. The amazing thing to me is that I can almost see this plant grow. When you look at it close up, you don't notice the growth exactly. But if you look away from it, and then look back, you can see how far it's travelled in a fairly short amount of time. I've never encountered any kind of plant life quite like this before. When I was at the Engineering Academy, I remember learning about another kind of vine that grows in the jungles of the planet Laveron. That vine can grow hundreds of feet in length from a single point of origin. When scientists first discovered it in the thick tangle of trees there, they thought it was multiple different plants wound together. It turns out that it was just one, looping back on itself countless times in an effort to fill as much space as it could in the dense undergrowth. That plant could only be contained by painting a thin mask of sugar on the end you wanted to slow down. I only remember it now because it's such a strange solution to a problem. Who would have thought to paint sugar on the end of a vine in the first place? I actually asked Jax about it, and she got really excited and tested it out on this vine. It didn't seem to have any effect at all. She also told me lots about the plant that I can't remember now. She seemed to have fun describing it all, though. I think she's really into plants. I like plants well enough, but I just don't get that excited about them most of the time. I think I prefer metal and useful composites, which makes sense for an engineer. Well, I'm just about finished uncoiling what I can of the vine back here. I keep yawning and I'm starting to get tired. I mean, I have been awake much longer than normal, but I usually don't get sleepy while I'm on an important job. Maybe this one's just been particularly tiring. I need to take a break for a bit at least. Who knows how long I'll have to keep redirecting and clearing these vines out. And I've been at it for quite a while now. Physical work is always tiring, especially when you're cramped in an air shaft. I can feel sleep reaching for me with its inevitable grasp. Almost like the inevitable reach of these vines through the crevices of the ship. I guess I'll pack up my tools and head back to my quarters and try to catch a few hours of sleep before getting back to it tomorrow. And speaking of tomorrow, I need to talk to Dr. Traylor about the possible effect of being around this flower for so long. It's supposed to put people to sleep. I don't think I'm feeling anything unusual right now. But it would be worth it to get a professional opinion. You never know what might happen from being in close contact with an alien species for too long. Most of the time it's fine, but it's always wise to be careful. This is lead engineer Ro Nez signing off. Good night. The Log of Dr. Marius Traylor. Mission: The Hypnos Conundrum. Day 4. I'm getting very tired. If I pause what I'm doing for more than just a few moments, I feel my eyelids start to grow heavy. My vision blurs until all I can see is a glossy landscape of colours and textures rather than objects around the room. My body feels as though there's a comforting weight on it, like a heavy blanket wrapped round my shoulders that drapes down to my knees. I feel safe and secure, as if I were in a cocoon. I made the mistake of putting my head down on my desk a few minutes ago. My head felt unbearably heavy. I had to close my eyes just for a moment, and when I did, I quickly drifted off to that place behind my eyelids where everything was black. Small starbursts of yellow and white danced across the velvety background. I watched them like little fireworks against the night sky. I felt the thoughts of the day drifting off with my vision. All my research, all my experiments, all my notes, gone without a trace. I started to forget why it was all so important. It seemed to be but a trivial problem from long ago that could bother me no more. My thoughts went to my family and friends, to all the people who make me smile and bring me comfort and happiness. And then my visions turned to the other members of my crew, to Jax in her lab, and to the captain at the bridge, to Ro in her engine room, and the first officer in his quarters. I thought of them going about their daily tasks, making sure the ship is running smoothly, that all the bits and pieces are in the right places. But what was my job aboard this ship? That thought pulled me back to the present, to the now, to why my research is critical for the crew. I'm the doctor. I'm the one who knows the most about this strange plant we found on the surface of Dawn. I'm the one leading the research into deep space travel, cryochambers, and suspended aging through deep sleep. I'm the one who knows the power of the Hypnos flower better than anyone, and that's why I have to stay awake. The practical application of this flower could forever change the way we travel long distances. We already have cryochamber technology, which allows us to drop a person's core temperature very low, keeping them in a kind of stasis. The Hypnos flower allows that person to sleep deeply and comfortably. Used together, both would allow crew members to travel for months or even years without aging and without feeling any discomfort at all. We could program ships to take us on missions to the far reaches of space we've only dreamed of visiting. When we set out for Dawn, we had envisioned finding the flower and bringing it back to the ship for testing. But something's gone wrong. We didn't account for one critical piece of the puzzle: how to prevent the Hypnos flower from working so well, so fast, and what to do if it did. We presumed that standard procedures and materials would work for containing and sustaining the plant on the ship. Although we had no way of knowing, it's clear now that we miscalculated. You see, all the plans we had were for closely monitored tests and the application of the plant in a controlled setting. We didn't plan for what to do if the plant grew and grew until the whole ship was overtaken. We didn't expect there to be vines a kilometre long, snaking their way through all of the dark and hidden parts of the ship, or thick growth hanging from the ceiling like a dense jungle. Walking through the ship now, you'd think it to be some kind of terrarium, and the crew just a part of some larger experiment. Everywhere you look, there's green. There are tendrils with dark purple flowers and thick leaves hanging from the ceilings, curling down the walls, running along the floors and around tables and chairs. The inside of the ship is damp, the way a greenhouse gets. It's what happens when there's more plant life than any other in an enclosed space. It's beautiful in its own way, watching this plant grow untamed. It's wild and raw, so unlike what we've come to expect from travelling through space. But the greatest problem is, we were right. We were right about the Hypnos flower. We were so incredibly right. It works, and I have no idea how to make it stop. When the first few crew members fell asleep, we didn't realise they'd done so, as it had already come time for them to finish their shifts and rest. But then this morning, a security officer and a member of the science crew didn't report for their shifts. They were found still in their quarters, tucked away snugly under their sheets, fast asleep. I was called to check on them, but nothing I did could wake them up. Throughout the day, more crew members from the night shift fell into the same deep sleep. We didn't alert the rest of the crew immediately, but the captain and first officer knew. By afternoon, all of the first officers had been told. Then we called an emergency meeting. Roe was there, as was Jax. Roe had just finished eating a late meal in the mess hall when we called her in. She said she had been feeling unusually tired as she worked late, uncoiling the plant from a wiring bundle. I told her then to try and stay awake. She fell asleep at the end of the meeting. She laid her head down on the table despite our protests. It was as though she were overtaken by the uncontrollable need to sleep. We moved her from the table to sick bay. She's laying on one of the medical beds in the corner here now. I brought her a pillow and some blankets and have been keeping watch over her ever since, monitoring her for any changes. But there haven't been any. She's perfectly safe and sleeping like I've never seen anyone sleep before. This morning, Jax also didn't report for her shift. We found her in her quarters too, with her head on the table in her living area. She'd been writing in a journal in an attempt to stay awake, but sleep, it seems, won out. It makes sense that Roe and Jax were two of the first to fall under the Hypnos Flower's spell. They had both been in close contact with it early on, and had spent a lot of time working hands-on with the plant. The two crew who first succumbed were also on the away team. By late afternoon today, more than half the crew had fallen asleep. Some laid down in the hallways and corridors, others made it to their quarters. Still more fell asleep at the tables in the mess hall, at their stations on the bridge, and at their workspaces around the ship. We moved as many of them as we could to their beds, but after a while, it became too much to do. We made sure they were all comfortable where they were, and focused our attention on the Hypnos Flower. The ship monitors the vital signs of all the crew members at all times. I've been checking the stats every 15 minutes. About an hour ago, the captain and first officer fell asleep. Now, I'm the only one left who's still awake. It's like we've become a ghost ship. Naturally, I've been going over what went wrong. What did we miss? When the away team collected the sample on the surface of Dawn, I know they were careful, but there must have been something there in its natural environment that kept the plant in check. It may have been something about the atmosphere, but I don't think so. I've gone over all the readings from the planet's surface and tested small portions of the vine in atmospherically controlled containers. But it doesn't make a difference. My guess is it was something far more simple. I think there must have been something on the surface of the planet that used the vine as a food source. Maybe it was some kind of animal or insect, perhaps. That would make sense. If we brought the vine here, but failed to bring the kind of creature that somehow prevents its unrestrained growth, it would account for why we can't get it to stop now. It's a classic situation of an invasive plant species. When brought to a new environment, without other species evolved to keep it in check, the plant takes over. At least, that's my best theory at this point in time. I'm tagging this log I'm recording with emergency priority. My hope is that if we fail to maintain communication with Reinad Station, they'll send out a search party and find us here. If they replay my log, they'd have some understanding of what came to pass on our ship, if only so they can protect themselves before they too fall into a deep and unwavering sleep. To anyone listening, if you can travel to the surface of dawn, try and find what subdues the hypnos flower. Figure out why it doesn't grow so wildly there. I'm sure that's where you'll also find the secret of how to wake us all up. The other forms of life on dawn were not asleep, so they must have some way of avoiding the hypnos flower's effects. That's the other problem, you see. I have no idea how to wake anyone up. I've tried a range of stimulants, electric stimulation, every means we know of. Nothing works. We're lucky, at least, that this is a safe part of the system. There have never been accounts of anything bad happening here. Occasionally, trading ships pass through, but that's it. For that reason, anyone must also take great care in coming aboard the REM. The power of the hypnos flower lies in its pollen. Anyone who comes aboard must take precautions. Under no circumstances should they breathe the contaminated air. Full respirators must be worn at all times while on board the REM, so long as the hypnos plant is growing at its current rate. Despite all of this, I'm not worried. I know someone will listen to our logs and find out what's happened here. They'll find the solution and administer whatever is needed to wake us up again. And until then, we'll just have had a nice long sleep. In a funny way, it's what we all joke about needing. And now we have it. Everyone on board is certainly getting the good night's sleep that they deserve. It's hard work on these missions. There's something else I should mention. The captain was the last person awake except for me. With her now asleep, full control of the ship has now passed to me. I've established emergency protocols for the ship. It will remain in orbit until someone manually takes control of the helm with the proper interstellar command codes. I've also set up protective force fields around all of the crew members, including me. Anyone with the same command codes can deactivate them. I've put a lock on our life support systems to keep them functioning normally. I've also made sure the seniors' officers' logs have all been tagged with emergency priority like mine. They'll begin playing automatically should the proper codes be entered. As a final precaution, I've done something not everyone may agree with, but I believe it's our best option. We have on board the ship a Selic model SLN-29 android. Until now, the android has been performing a number of tasks around the ship, typically in spaces that are challenging for living crew members to be in. But the SLN-29 is capable of much more than that. It can do complex calculations better than any living crew member. It's capable of advanced analysis and could perform research with greater precision than even I could. At least that's what testing environments have shown. These androids, though exceptional, have never been used in the field for advanced human functioning activities. I've had the chance to interact with the SLN-29 a few times. It has a personality function with the ability to adapt and learn. That means it can actually learn to interact like a living crew member. No one has ever really explored what this means for the future of space travel, or for these androids. They're still seen as machines in the eyes of Interstellar Command, but I believe there's potential. That's why I am now also transferring emergency command codes to the SLN-29. I have instructed it not to move the ship from orbit, but it will be able to take emergency action if the need arises. I've also instructed it to keep watch over the living crew members and make sure they're doing all right. I've been yawning every few minutes, and I feel my eyelids growing heavy again. So heavy. I need to stay awake, but everything in me is calling for sleep. I don't think I can keep myself awake much longer. So I'm going to finish up this log and send it. If anyone listens to this, send assistance. The ship should be fine on autopilot for a long time, but with all of the crew asleep, we may be left orbiting Dawn forever. And be careful with the Hypnos Flower. It's more powerful than we ever imagined. This is Dr. Treylor signing off. Good night.